Welcome to the Daily Chaos Podcast. This is your host, Lisa. I don't know anybody who doesn't have a little chaos in their life, but doesn't that make life interesting? Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast today, and we have a very special guest on who is going to be giving us her experience with COVID. She has been diagnosed and treated and is doing better, but thought that it would be great to be on here and just give us a little insight on how everything went down. But before we get into the podcast, please know that myself nor my friend have no medical background whatsoever. This is her very own experience only. So please know that the content on today's episode, especially today's episode, but all information, content material on this podcast is for informational purposes only. We are not intending to serve as a substitute for the consultation, diagnosis, or medical treatment of a qualified physician or healthcare provider. So please, again, all information, content, opinions on this podcast, and especially this episode, are those of the host and the guest, and is for information purpose only. So I hope that you enjoy this episode. And, you know, just kind of listen to the differences in what we've heard in the media as to the experience my friend has had. Now, that is not to say that other people who have dealt with COVID have the same experience, so they may experience things differently. Know that this is a personal experience of somebody here that I know of, and I hope that it gives you some information, some little insight. But you know, at the bottom line is this whole thing, it's still new, it's still going on, and my personal opinion doesn't feel like it's going to be anytime soon that we're going to have our normal back. I don't feel that this is the new normal. I know people put that out there, this is the new normal. I don't think it's the new normal. I think, yes, we've definitely had to adjust and do things differently. But I think if we can get a handle on this, hopefully we can get back to living again. And if you are out there living, good for you, but be safe. You know, when you go out and about hiking or whatever, just to be out there, that's a good thing too, but just be safe. All right, well, let's get into the episode today. And again, this is with my dearest friend, and her name is Chantal. So she's going to give us her experience with COVID. So this is our first little chat on the podcast. So this will be fun.
Nice. I'm excited.
You're my you're my second guest.
I feel famous.
You're almost famous. Diego was my first guest because Diego started. Yeah, he wants to do his own little thing. So I'm like, okay.
So that's cute. I love it.
He's precious. But I am recording now, and I'm talking with my dear little friend Chantalita. We call her Chantalita because she's so little. Little Chantel.
Hello.
So hello everybody. Chantel has the unique, unfortunate experience of dealing with COVID that was like probably a month and a half ago now, huh?
Yes, ma'am. It started on June 24th was when my first symptoms started.
So I know we talked a little bit about it, and I wanted to do it here just so people could hear from somebody who actually had an experience and not like from Facebook or Instagram, because that's where everyone seems to get their information from.
Yeah.
But like, this goes back, like you guys obviously had to deal with COVID way back in the beginning, and then now not with your own personal experience, but just dealing with other people that you know that had it. But now you guys actually had it, and it was very innocent the way you guys contracted it, right?
Right. It was through we thought we would be fine. We got together with family, and unfortunately, one family member had possibly contracted it from somebody else, from another family member that he went to go visit. And then about 16 of us, I believe, got it from one family member. So just how quick this thing spreads and how, I guess, naive we are to it, thinking that we would be fine because we're within family and we're not out at a store or out in public. But unfortunately, we still got coronavirus.
And that's a lot of family members that were in three different households, right?
It was split amongst four households, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
So the age group was from very young to very old.
Mm-hmm. From our youngest being 7 to the oldest being 72.
So you thankfully did not have a really bad case, but you still had experienced a lot of quite a few symptoms, right?
Correct. So I had a very low-grade fever. That's kind of how it started. And then I got the body aches. The body aches was something that was extremely unbearable. I've never experienced pain like that before, where it's just down to your core. You have this pain all over your body to the touch, even showering or obviously Hispanics, we use the Vicks. So Vicks everywhere, even putting that on was really painful. Just because it, your body just aches everywhere from the top of your head to your toes, your body just aches. So I did have that, the chest pain, the shortness of breath. That's what I got. But I know that other family members did get fevers up to 105.
Oh my God.
There was somebody that we know, that got it, unfortunately, through the same thing, that had to be hospitalized because they got really bad pneumonia. So the symptoms vary, and it's definitely different for everybody. The oldest person that got it had no symptoms whatsoever, never had a fever.
Not even a fever.
God. Never had anything. And so it's so individualized. So you don't know how it's going to affect you, really.
So that person wouldn't have tested at all. Oh, there goes the bird. That member wouldn't have been tested at all had you all not been tested positive.
Correct. The only reason that person tested was because of the fact that they were around us. They obviously wanted to take the precaution, and so they did go and get tested.
Okay. I may have to move the bird in a minute. We'll see. He stopped, but I don't know. Anyway, this is all editable. That's why I figured I'd do it this way too. So the fevers were like the first indication that you guys got?
The fevers, yes. For all of us, that was our first indicator. It started with the first family member earlier on Sunday evening getting a fever. It went from 103, escalated to 105 very quickly, which is when they were taken to emergency. Later that night, another family member got a fever as well. That one was a little lower. It was at like 101. And then my fever never went up to 100. So I was always at like a 99.8, 99.9, but never went really high. And then the body aches started kicking in. And that lasted about 2 or 3 days, the body aches.
Yeah, because you said when you took a shower, you just felt like you were being poked.
Yeah, you're taking a shower, the water's hitting your body, and it's just painful. It feels like needles are hitting your body because your body, like, even to get dressed, everything just hurts. Because it's a feeling that, I mean, it's beyond being sore. It's just something that it's internal. Everything just hurts. And you, because of that physical pain, I think that's where the exhaustion comes from. You get so tired that, I mean, there'd be days where all I did was sleep because I was just so exhausted.
And you said they couldn't really treat it other than telling you to take Tylenol?
Correct. So I was told, because one other family member at the beginning got pneumonia, I went to go get chest x-rays to make sure that my lungs were fine, I didn't get pneumonia. That way, if I did, they would have given me the antibiotics. This was at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
My chest x-rays were clear, but they did tell me to just take Tylenol because I guess they are finding other medication is having different effects on COVID. So right now they're just sticking to telling people to take Tylenol. You can't really do much else. Take a lot of fluids and rest. But there's nothing else that they can, at least when I went to Northridge, that I could take or that they could give me.
And so you had said too that they had like contacted everybody, like once you test positive, they contact everybody in the family to see where you've been and who you've been around and all that?
Correct. Once you test positive, they give you a call and they tell you, hey, you know, we're just calling. It's like from the city letting you know, basically you need to be isolated for 14 days, make sure you're monitoring your symptoms. If things get worse, you go to the hospital. And then they ask you where you've been, who you've been around. Have you contacted those people? They're just trying to do like a contact tracing to make sure that this, you know, trying to contain as much of the spread as possible. They do also, I noticed when I received my test results, there is also an anonymous text that can be sent out to people around you, to people you've been around, so that they are notified, hey, someone that you've been around tested positive for COVID, just giving them a heads up, like to stay isolated, to go get tested, and just to make sure that they're monitoring their symptoms.
So the testing that you did, you said you did the nose one, but you also did the throat one?
Correct. So the first test I did, I did a drive-through, and it was a throat one that was done. I'm in my car, but the nurse or doctor did do the swab for me. I'm sorry, that was, the nose one. And it's just like a little swab that goes all the way up to your nose. It is a little painful. They did that one. And then every test after that, because I tested quite a lot, every test after that was a self-test, which was a mouth swab.
But that's kind of scary because you were saying if you don't get enough whatever you need to get onto the swab, it could be a false, it could be a negative.
Correct. And that's something that I was also informed at when I was at Northridge, was that the tests aren't very accurate, because if you test too early, if your body hasn't produced enough of the viral load, then you will come up with a false negative, and then 3 days later you can test again and be positive. The accuracy for these tests is not very high. They said about 40% of the time the tests come out incorrect. It's inaccurate 40% of the time. So, I mean, to be able to trust that, it's and with such an intense virus, like, you'd think there'd be a little bit more accuracy, but, I mean, it is new. So, yeah, if you don't, I guess, produce. I made sure when I was testing that I would cough and try and, I mean, I was naturally producing phlegm from just the bacteria. So I made sure that I got as much on there as possible. But they are highly inaccurate.
So they originally told you if you test four times negative, then you would be considered did they say you would be considered fine, or do you would be considered not contagious, or what?
So no one was ever able to tell me, and I think even still, there's not a clear understanding of when someone is contagious. If it is during, like, the incubation period at the beginning, where you're kind of still building up that viral load, but you do have it, or if it, you know, they say the 14 days. I know CDC just changed their guidelines to now making it 10 days. And then you're, as long as you haven't had any symptoms, then you're fine. But there's no clear understanding as to when you're contagious and no longer contagious. So that's been the difficult part, especially if, for me, I'm even after a month, I was still testing positive.
So, and that's another thing you mentioned the other day when we talked about it, is that they, or yesterday when we talked about it, is that they're testing positive. Are those numbers being counted every time you test? So it's, I wonder if they're taking that into, because I don't want to give the false impression either that, oh, maybe the numbers aren't as bad as they say they are, because maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But yeah, you're one person that tested positive 5 times. So does that count for 5 different COVID cases? You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Then that's something that, I mean, I don't know how that works. But if they're counting someone like me who's testing, I had to test every week because of work to be able to go back to work. I needed my negative test results. And because I continued to test positive, I had to keep going back every week. So that's something that I did start thinking about, was how are these numbers skewed? Because if I'm one individual and I tested positive for COVID, my initial test, yes, was valid. But then every test after that, are they counting, you know,
as a new case?
Exactly. Yeah. Are they counting 5 positive as opposed to one person testing positive?
5 times.
I'm taking to test multiple times, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's scary. I mean, I would hope that somebody thought of that. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. Especially, even within my family, I know that many of us had gotten tested time and time again.
So that's 16 of you. If 16 of you had tested 5 times and all received 5 positives, you know, we're looking at 830 or 800. So, you know, numbers there are. 316. Oh yeah. That's all. Yeah, no, that's really skewed. That's like 800 or so.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's where, I mean, we see these numbers, and not to say that the numbers aren't high, the cases aren't high, and this thing is honestly a very serious thing. But it does get you thinking, like, okay, how accurate are these numbers? And it could be that there are also people that are asymptomatic, which we obviously experienced that in my family as well. And that's a scary part of this too, where if you don't have any symptoms and you don't know that you've been around somebody who has COVID, you're not going to go get tested because you feel fine. You could still be a carrier of the virus.
Yeah, because one of the things that we were told in the beginning was young people and older people probably are more susceptible.
Prone
to get it, right? And you know, it could be really bad, but then you've had the experience where you had a 77-year-old family member that had absolutely no idea she was positive, thankfully, and didn't have to deal with a lot of the things that you guys had to deal with,
right?
So now you've tested negative.
Now I've tested, yes, after a month. About a month and a half, after all of it, I finally received my 2 negatives. I needed 2 negatives to return to work. My employer had said I needed originally 1 negative, and then it turned to 2 negatives and a doctor's note. As of yesterday, I no longer need the doctor's note because of the CDC guidelines that have been changed. And that's the thing where, because so much new information is coming about every second of the day, there's either something's discovered with a different case or a different doctor, everyone's kind of putting in their opinion. The CDC is constantly updating their the guidelines for this thing because there's so much unknown.
Yeah, and so employers are getting this kind of, like, this is the stipulation for someone that would have tested that it works for you. So after, well, actually, you were still testing positive when you ended up developing pneumonia.
Right. So I had COVID. I had gone through the symptoms. I was still testing positive, but the symptoms had resided. And I didn't have the body aches anymore. There was no fevers. I still had the lingering cough, and I still had the shortness of breath. Wasn't as bad as when it happened at the beginning, but it was still there a little bit. I did still feel tired, but the chest pain started coming back after a couple weeks. I'd say about 3 weeks, it started coming back, and the breathing started getting a little bit more difficult. And so, obviously, I was concerned, and I went back to Northridge. They did chest x-rays, and this time, I had developed pneumonia. Luckily, it was at the beginning stage of it, so they caught it in time, and they did give me antibiotics that I had to take for 5 days to rid the pneumonia. They did say the pneumonia was also contagious, so I had to self-isolate for the 5 days that I was on the antibiotics. But that was after I felt fine, after I was better from COVID. I did get that, and that's something that they are saying, is that there are potential long-term effects that this can have on your body. So that's something that I'm going to, I guess, constantly have to just keep checking in on my body and checking in with doctors to make sure that nothing comes up again, or nothing happens within my body. Unfortunately, we do know some people that have passed from it. And
you said they developed like a hole in their lung or something?
Yeah. So we have a friend, my mom has a friend who, she just passed away. Unfortunately, she got COVID. She started feeling better. They did send her home, and she was fine for a couple days and then went back because her breathing got a lot harder and the chest pain increased. And unfortunately, she had developed a hole in her lungs, which didn't allow her to breathe correctly. And she did pass because of that. And that's something, she was older. I don't know her exact age, but I know she was older, over 55. So I know she was older than my mom, but, unfortunately, that's what happened. And that's the thing, is that this thing, like I said at the beginning, can have so many different effects across the board. It doesn't matter your age or whatever. It's just, you know, however this thing decides to hit you, it's going to happen. There's no knowing. There's really no knowing, like, how it's going to affect you, or there's no general umbrella. Either you're going to get it this way or the other, which is crazy.
So, and because the doctors couldn't even really tell you what to expect.
Exactly. Even when I got diagnosed with the pneumonia, the doctor had said, well, we don't know if this is because you still have COVID, or if this is just an aftermath of COVID.
And that's where they said that the pneumonia could be contagious, which pneumonia usually isn't contagious.
Well, they said, yeah, I did, because my mom had said the same thing, that it wasn't contagious, and I did look it up online. So it is kind of, it's the same thing where it can be airborne if I'm coughing or anything like that. The droplets can, you know, you can catch it that way. But I wouldn't have, I've been quarantined for the last month and a half. I wouldn't have caught it anywhere else. So, I mean, I'm assuming it's because of COVID, and that's something that the doctors couldn't even provide clarity on.
That's crazy. So, but now has everyone tested negative now? Because the last thing I would want is, like, you guys to keep passing it to each other.
Yeah, so we're the only one that hasn't tested negative is the little one, the 7-year. Well, he tested negative and then tested positive. And that's the thing, too, where the inaccuracies come into play, because I had tested negative once and then got two positives after.
Mm.
And then now have my two negatives. Another family member as well got one negative, two positives, one other negative, and then a positive. So it depends on how much viral load you get on the swab. Which is why they're asking now for the negatives to be within 24 hours. Okay. I guess that I don't know if that provides more accuracy. I don't know. But, yeah, that's where the inaccuracies come into play. But they are saying that now after the if you have had, at least this is what my employer told me, that if I have 20 days from my onset of symptoms,
mm-hmm.
it's been 20 days since my onset of symptoms and 3 days without any of the symptoms, and that my previous symptoms have improved, then I'm clear.
Okay. Yeah, so it's like everyone crying about wearing a mask is probably rethinking that, hopefully. Or
yeah, the masks are very important because it is such an airborne thing. And if you're wearing your mask and you're covering your mouth and you're covering your nose and you're at least protecting others from your germs, and you're also being protected from, at least covered from, other people's germs, and get over it. Just wear a mask.
Yeah. I mean, I know, like, in the, like, very beginning, you know, we got together, or I've gotten together with one other friend. Like, usually it's like one friend at a time or two friends at a time, you know, and it's like we don't even really think about it. But now it's like, yeah, we need to be super careful, because I know where I've been, and I know where you've been, and all it was a, you know, a family member out of town that came to visit, and it was like, it was still a small group, and it still happened, you know.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing, is you can't control where everyone else is gone. You can obviously only control yourself, but I think just being mindful of that, and even now, this was definitely a wake-up call for my family and I, just like not getting together.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it has created a lot more precaution. It's just who I see, who I hang out with, and not being out if I don't have to. Because as much as they say, I think at the beginning, a lot of people thought you get coronavirus, you won't get it again. But that's not true. You can get coronavirus. Your body does build the antibodies, but the antibodies will only last so long. They say about a month or two, which if you think about it, I've already exhausted 1 month because I've been isolated because I haven't tested negative. And now that I've tested negative, if my antibodies really last 2 months, then I really only have another 3 weeks that my antibodies would last. So you can catch it again. It's not something that's one and done.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling better. I'm glad you're still negative.
Yes, all the negativity.
But I can't wait to hug you again. And when we have Friendsgiving, like in November, who knows, we may have to, I may have to have you guys sit out in the lawn.
I'll be in a bubble.
We'll have 6 feet tape around, and everyone can pick an end of tape to sit at or something.
There we go.
Yeah, that's going to be very different. I don't know how that's going to be this year. That's our what, six? I think, Kristen, that was our 7-year streak or something of that this year. So
I think it'll be my third or fourth year. Maybe my fourth year.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Where were you? Oh, you weren't working at that place yet, probably.
Yes.
I know. There's like very, very few people that I still keep in contact there, and it's like, oh my gosh, that's not my Chantelita. She's one of the few people I still talk to.
Yes, always and forever.
Well, I thank you for sharing your experience, but it sucks that you had to go through that.
Yeah.
All of you, your mom and your nephew and everybody at the house, and hopefully you guys can keep clear of it and stay on the negative.
Yes, it was definitely a scary ride, and whoever tunes in, be safe, wear your mask, take precaution, and I mean, it's not normal for us to be isolated for this long, but this is a very serious thing, so take it seriously.
Yeah, we may have to bring Zoom back. I think Zoom was in for a minute, and now everyone's getting together, and maybe time to bring the Zoom back, huh, to family gatherings? happy hours and stuff. I told you I was going to make you that watermelon pineapple drink when you feel better.
I'm ready.
All right. I'm going to thank you for talking here again.
You're welcome.
Hey, everybody. So I hope you enjoyed my little chat there with my friend. And before I forget, I do want to point out, I was doing bad math. I realized that while I was editing this, and I was doing 160 times 5 and not 16 times 5. That's where I got the 800 from. It's actually 80, but still 80. Out of 16 people, 80 confirmed positive tests, and it just kind of makes me wonder where the numbers actually lie. And hopefully, I'm sure some expert somewhere has thought of that, but hopefully it's not really kind of skewing the numbers when people have to take the test over and over and over again. I don't want to give the impression that we're in a better position, like I said, but still, it's just one of those things we kind of were like, oh, okay. But yes, I do realize that I did give a bad number there, so I just wanted to make sure to clarify that. We had talked about doing a podcast, her and I, just random stuff, but all this stuff happened, and well, obviously we don't get together as much as we'd like, but, you know, keeping in touch and checking in on those that you love. And honestly, when I heard that she had that had been diagnosed with COVID and dealing with COVID with her and her family, then had to deal with that. But it really made me think of all the people that I hadn't really checked in on, and I need to do that. So it got me sending out texts and making phone calls just to say, hey, you know, I had a sobering moment, and I realized that I haven't checked in on you, so how are you doing? So hopefully that, if anything, this episode encourages you to reach out to your friends and family and see how they're doing. But again, please, like I said at the beginning, this is information only. So please be careful out there. Don't take anything for granted. Take what you hear with a grain of salt. Don't take it as medical advice. Be safe. And I hope that you enjoyed the episode. And like I said, I enjoyed making it. And just be safe out there. All right. See you soon.
Thanks for hanging out with me today. You can find us on Facebook by searching the Daily Chaos Podcast. Hope to have you back soon.